God is from heaven. It's not from this earth. We are not of this world. The gospel is not, believe it or not, it's not our idea. It's not Pastor Jim's idea. It's not the Pope's idea. It's not Luther's idea. Can you hear me?
No.
Hear me?
Nope.
Louder, even? Oh, yeah, there we go. Whoa. I don't want to blow everybody's ears out. But the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says that plainly in the New Testament lots of times. So the gospel is good news. It's something I go over every day. Because I was telling Pastor Jim before the service, I'm amazed every day that God chose me, that he saved me when I was 25 years old. It was back in 1983. And I was led to the Lord by a group of seminary students from the Dallas Theological, I'm not Dallas, but the Fort Worth Seminary up there on Seminary Street. And I just couldn't believe it. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit, because we're going to go over Acts chapter 2. We're going to talk about the day of Pentecost, which is something I actually prepared this last week because I didn't know what was going on. So I thought, well, I better be ready just in case. But I usually do that every Sunday. Bible says we're always to be ready to give a word for the hope that is in us. And today is what we're going to talk about. But I want to go over, I just want to share one scripture. God showed me this morning. I was reading about, since Jim's been going over Deuteronomy, I've been reading the Old Testament more than I usually do. I usually don't read it that much, but I'm reading it a lot more now. And I read the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm in Numbers, and I read Joshua. Different books. And it's interesting how Peter said in his epistle that all that was done for us. Abraham did not live for himself. He lived for us, like you were talking about in your testimony. Abraham, Isaac was of promise. And you're a child of promise. Same. You're no different than Isaac. You're a child of promise because it's by faith. It's not by blood or it's not by the will of man, but it's by the will of God. So nothing comes to us by the will of men. And that's my whole testimony, my whole life, everything that happens to me. Jim and I were talking, he said that in Colossians it says that I am dead and my life is hid with Christ in God. So we're different than the world. We are elected. You're elect. That's what the Bible says. It just means you're God's favorite. Everybody in this room, I say that every morning when I pray. Because, you know, you have to, if you're not favorite of the Lord, then you're in trouble. But you're God's favorite. So all of you, Lou, and everybody here in this room can all say, I'm God's favorite. And even the word reconciliation, if you read it in the Greek, it actually has that kind of that tone to it that you're elected. You're God's favorite. Not just favored. Yeah. Favored is good because a lot of people are favored, but you're this favorite. Pastor Jim is God's favorite. I know I read it in the Bible. So we're all God's favorite. So that means that we are favored. God daily loads us with benefits. Everything's going our way. You're a new creation. All things are working together for your good. You can say that every day. Yeah, I tell you, it's a blessing. Then you're not worried. There's no fear. Back when I found out about the coronavirus, the first time I was actually doing something real spiritual, watching a basketball game, and they were going to shut down the NBA and all this stuff, and I was like, what? What's going on here? So I had to find out all this stuff. Mostly I find all of my news from my wife. But God spoke a scripture, and I didn't even remember where the scripture was. I had to look it up. It said, the wicked run when no one's in pursuit, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I thought, golly, God, what should I do? You know, it's nothing. Just don't be afraid. I said, okay, so I'm not going to be afraid. So I never was. Since then, I've never been anxious or afraid or worried. It's just that our weapons are not carnal, but they're spirit. That's spiritual. To not fear is spiritual. I don't know if you know that, but it is. Because it's in the Bible. It says, don't fear. Don't fret yourself because of evildoers. Mm-hmm. Evildoers will always be evil till Jesus comes back. It'll never change. Now, there are people that will be saved and come into the kingdom of God for sure. But still, it will always have the wicked with us till the end of time. This world is in darkness. Dark, 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 dark. Every institution, every college, everything is in darkness. And it's just the way it is. Lee and I worked as child, we worked, I guess I can say the name, Lena Pope Home. It was a home for teenage girls. And when we got married, we moved in there and we had this 8 teenage girls living in our house. It was pretty crazy. But the whole system was dark. And so Lee and I and some friends of ours, we were Christians, and we were the only light there, and they knew it. Whenever there was a problem, they always came to our house, because our house was the best, because of Leah, mostly. But it was, because we trusted in the Lord. We didn't trust in their psychology. We didn't trust in their drugs. We didn't trust in any of that. We took them to church. We witnessed to them. We prayed for them. That all worked. Even our supervisor, who wasn't even a Christian, came down to us one, because all the other houses were having all kinds of problems, demons and burning pentagrams in the carpet and having all kinds of problems, but not at our house. Why? Because, Lori was saying, I didn't tolerate it. I didn't even have to correct him to do it. I just prayed. I just kicked the devil out. And I had one of the girls from the other homes come up to me and tell me she was going to kill everybody in the house, and then she was going to kill Jesus. And I don't know what heck came over me. That just tickled me, so I just started laughing. And all these big old guys, burly guys that were football players, I couldn't even restrain her because she had demons. I knew exactly what was wrong. And so I just said something in Jesus' name. And then I took her to the ground, and she just, because we had to restrain him when stuff like that was going on, because she was pulling hair out of people's hair. I mean, literally pulling chunks of hair out of people. She was totally demon-possessed, I think. I don't know for sure. I'm sure she was. But anyway, so I prayed and just put her on the ground, and it was over. Then the whole thing was over. So after that, it was poor that evening, but they would always call, come to get us to solve problems. And then our supervisor came down one day and goes, "You think the devil's stronger than God?" Or something like that. Is that what she said? Me and Leah were like, no. So she wanted to pray because the houses were having all kinds of problems. Because psychology, I tell you, it doesn't work. All the darkness of this world is because the way people are educated, the public school, the colleges, the seminaries, everything, it's hard. It's hard to get past that unless you get into the light, unless you're dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. So the gospel is to destroy all that. The gospel is what created this nation. The gospel, Whitfield and Wesley, Jonathan and Charles Wesley, and all these guys that were having huge revivals and awakenings. And that's how you begin a nation. That's how we are going to solve all the problems in this country right now, is the gospel. It's the only thing that works. And I saw it in so many of the jobs that Lee and I have done, so many places we have went and worked in the worst, bad areas. And even we worked for the very, very rich billionaires. We worked for the very, very poor. And it's all the same. It's even like that in Africa. It's the same. People are wicked and all their stuff is wicked. They need Jesus. It's the only thing that works. And I'm convinced of that totally because I see it in my life. I was telling Jim before the service, when I was growing up, I was a Catholic. And so I could never, when I got into college and high school, when I started drinking and partying and doing all this kind of stuff, I could never totally quite enjoy it, which was kind of a bummer because the Bible says sin is fun for a season. But I always had this thing in the back of my mind, man, I'm not a good person. Everybody thinks I'm a good Catholic boy. My mom even used to call me that. Danny, you're such a good Catholic boy. But I wasn't. I was wicked to the hilt. And I didn't even, but I couldn't help it because I was under a law still. I was still under the elements of the world. I was still just a sinner. Like Paul always called the Gentiles heathens and sinners. That's because he was a Jew, so he just had favor with them. No, I'm just kidding. And that's what I was. I was just a heathen and a sinner. And I couldn't solve that problem. I took a lot of psychology in college because my major was criminal justice, so I took a lot of psychology. And I hated it. Even when I wasn't a Christian, I didn't like it because there was no answers. It was just opinions. It was very vague and gray. You know, you had Freud on one end. And I remember I wrote this paper. What makes a criminal? His environment? Or is he just born that way? Was it genetics? You know, so I had to write this long paper about that. But there was never any clear-cut answer to anything. You could read book after book after book. Jim knows this because he went to Yale. And there's just no answers. That's what I loved it when I became a Christian. Everything was so clear. I'm a sinner. That's pretty clear. I mean, I understood that because I was sinning. Sinners sin. Saints sin too. That's just our flesh, though. It's not our heart. Heart is not the sin. So I asked the guy, okay, we're going to read this. Let's read this in the book. I'm going to read exactly. This is exactly the same question I had when I became a Christian. And this is the day of Pentecost. And the Jews celebrated as a giving of the law. When the law was given, it says in the Bible, I just read it in Deuteronomy, about 3,000 people were killed. And in the New Testament, the same day, they were celebrating, 50 days after the second day of Passover, about 3,000 people were saved. The law, the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit gives life. If there was a law given that could give him life, it says in Galatians, verily the righteousness would have come by the law, but it doesn't. There's nothing you can do. And gosh, that was such good news for me, growing up the way I did, that I didn't have to go to hell, and plus I didn't have to do anything. Well, it fit me perfect, because I wasn't nothing. I was nothing. I was just, the best I could do was sin, or be a good Catholic boy. But good Catholic boys go to hell. Good Catholic, everything goes to hell. Every good Baptist does too, unless they're a Christian. Every institution, like I said, every religion, every denomination, everything is in darkness. This whole world is in darkness, except for you, because you're the light of the world. You're God's favorite. You have been set aside, sanctified to God's using you to reconcile everything to himself. Jesus Christ. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. So he's using you to reconcile the world to him. And you don't even have to do anything. Just be yourself. Read your Bible. Pray. Just seek the Lord. And that's all you got to do. And he'll tell you what to do. He knows way better. Like I wouldn't have known anything what to do except God said, gave me a scripture. Don't be afraid. Be bold as a lion. Okay, then that's what I'll do. I can't do it, but that's what I'm going to do. Because only God can do that. Only God can make you as bold as a lion. You can't do it. You can't say, I'm going to be as bold as a lion. No, you just believe God. That's what God said. That's what you are. It's a description of who you are. Before I read that, I'm going to read this in Numbers. This is Balaam was a prophet, not a very good one. Remember, God had to speak through him through the donkey and all that. And he was only going to say what God said. And they got mad at it because they were the king of the Moabites, Balak. He was afraid because the Israelites were just cleaning up. It was actually God. It wasn't them. It was God was cleaning up the land, giving it to the Israel, his chosen people. He was blessing them. And they were scared. It says they were terrified. They were scared to death. So he's going to find this prophet to curse them. That way they're cursed. But listen to what God said. You know, you cannot be cursed. You cannot. You cannot ever experience God's wrath ever again. It's been totally eliminated through Jesus Christ. He took all the wrath, took all the curse. He became a curse for you, it says in the book of Galatians. It says it other places too, but In Deuteronomy, you can read about the curses and the blessings in chapter 27, 28. But we get all the blessings because of Jesus. And I didn't even do anything. That's what's so amazing to me and to Pastor Jim, too, I know, and to all of you guys, is we haven't even done anything. I didn't even deserve it. I didn't get any extra credit. I didn't even read my Bible ever until I was 25 years old, until I became a Christian. Never. I didn't even know what it said. But the moment I got saved, I believed it from the front cover to the back. I believed every word. Even though I didn't understand it, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know it was written. I didn't even know it was written in Hebrew and Greek. I didn't know anything. But I knew it was true. I knew Jesus. I just knew Jesus was awesome. And he saved me, and that's all I knew. And it was amazing. And then something amazing happened. And it kept getting better. I got baptized in water, and man, it was awesome. I had a really awesome experience. Got delivered from stuff. And then a guy from South Africa laid hands on me. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke with tongues, was just, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then it just got better, better and better and better. And then I started reading the Bible, and I was just amazed. It was exactly what I thought it would be. There's a few surprises, but I just thought, man, this is good news. Everything in this Bible is good news. Even Deuteronomy, everything in it's good news. Everything. And I just thought to myself, wow, this needs to be preached. But I never heard it. For several years, I didn't hear a lot of good news. I just heard, pay your tithe, give money, so you can get rich and all this stuff. I thought, man, it's got to be more of the gospel than just getting rich or getting mammon. I mean, even the world does that. Who cares about money? What about the God? So I thought that. And then I just kept going and going and going. And no matter what happened in the church, no matter what happened in my life, I just thought, man, this has got to be about Jesus. This is all God's doing. You can do nothing. And listen to this. This is Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall not he do it? Whatever God says, he's going to do it. So you can read, I just got done reading the book of Revelations also, but whatever God said he's going to do, he'll do it. And I don't even care if I see it. If you don't care if you see it, then you'll see it. If you care that you want to see a miracle or want to see something happen. I even told God today when I was praying, I said, God, I don't have to have a feeling. I don't have to feel the anointing or anything like that. I don't even care about that. I just know what the Bible says, that whatever the Bible says, you're going to do it. I don't even have to see it. I'll believe it to the death. But I don't know if I'll ever see it. Abraham never saw anything. Well, he saw Isaac, but he was going to kill him, and then it all worked out good. You know how the story goes, but God himself will provide a lamb. So Pentecost is about law on the Jewish side, but on our side, it's about the first fruits. It's about blessing. It's about the gospel. It's about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God had to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. They didn't probably even know what they were expect. They didn't know what to expect, I don't think. Those 120 that were up in the upper room, they were just praying. They didn't know what God had in store. They might have thought even Jesus was coming back. I don't know what they thought. But then all of a sudden, God that came in, those tongues on their head, individual by individual, they all spoke in tongues. Everybody understood what they were saying in their own language, and all these people got saved. And then it just kept going and going and going and going. And that's how the church began. Although there was a church in the Old Testament also. So God's always had a people, always. Even if it was just a remnant, he always had somebody on this earth. And I believe God has people everywhere, in the government, Senate, the House, the legislature, the Supreme Court, the executive branch. God always has people everywhere. It doesn't matter who's president, or it does matter, but in every cabinet, there's somebody. somebody that loves Jesus. In our neighborhood, there's people besides Lee and I that love Jesus. And when you meet them every once in a while, you're like, way, your brother. You know, you're all excited because your next door neighbor is a Christian and they love Jesus. And we just were at Larry and Barbara's house, and the people that live between us go to a church, and used to be a youth pastor, and then his mom and dad are from Oregon. Is that Washington? Washington. Anyway, and they love Jesus. They believe exactly like we do. We're just having great fellowship, and it's awesome. And then you have people that, God has his people everywhere. So there's light everywhere, but it's also, but it's in the darkness. It makes it even more precious because it's so dark. The world is so dark. When you see somebody that loves Jesus, you're like, wow. The other day we were at Sprouts, and I don't know if you guys know Lance McCune, but he was a pastor at a youth pastor a long time. When Lee and I first got married, we met him. He actually came to our wedding, but I didn't know who he was. But he does something in the government where he's kind of liaison. But he used to be he still is, between the police and the church. Rightly, and then he does something now with government. He told me he was doing something with government too, going over the First Amendment, trying to get our religious freedoms and all that. Kind of the same thing Jim does and David and all of us. So anyway, we met him, and it was a blessing. We were just hugging, right in the middle of Sprouts, we're all hugging each other, and hey, you know, Lance. It was so good to see him, and he had a testimony about how good God is, and he was just—he went to the same college you went to, Rhema, and he's an awesome brother. But he's really into the political scene, and he knows a lot that's going on. So he is a good connection, I think, for David and Jim eventually. But anyway, so we'll get them together. But God is good. So anyway, the book of Acts, chapter 2. Pentecost, there was 1,000 saved, 3,000, about 3,000, and about 3,000 died in the law. Because the law, if you're trying to keep the law, there's nothing wrong with the law. The law is good, it's holy, it's perfect. The only problem is it has no mercy and it has no power, so you cannot do the law. That's the only problem with it. Law has a slight problem. You can't do it. So you have to come out from underneath the law, underneath its rules, regulations, and all that stuff, and you have to come under the Holy Spirit. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit's all about. You're not under the law anymore, you're under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. People think if they go under grace, they're going to sin. But no, you're not. You will. You'll always sin until Jesus comes back. But it will not dominion, it will not control your life. No more pornography will control my life. No more alcohol will control my life. No more drugs will control my life. No longer pride will control my life. No longer self-pity, blah, blah, blah. You can name a million things. It won't control your life. It doesn't mean you won't do those things. Anger won't control my life anymore. You might get angry, but it won't control your life. So you're free. Remember they asked Jesus, the Pharisees asked Jesus, we were never in slavery. We're Abraham's children. And he said, you're a slave to sin. Whom the Son has set free is free. And the only way to get free from sin is through Jesus Christ, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Even if you're a Christian, you still need God I need Jesus every day. I notice that about me. My wife does too. If I don't wake up in the morning and spend time with Jesus right away, I mean, the moment I wake up, then, you know, I'm frazzled. I don't even know what to do. It's almost like I don't have any. I'm like, what? But when I do that, I'm like, man, everything's okay. As soon as I see Jesus, I'm like, whew, man, he's still there. I woke up this morning, he's still here. I can't believe it. He didn't leave me or forsake me. So he's still here. Wow. Anyway, I'm going to get to Acts here. I'm going to find it here in a minute. But this is an awesome story. Okay. Verse 1, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, now people think, they were in one accord in one place, that's why God did it. But no, this was a thing that was prophesied, it was going to happen. This is not a work of man. I know people think that. They think that we have something to do about stuff, but we don't. God, you need God. God does not need you. I don't care what people say. He does not need you. He does not need me. He does not need you. You need him. And that makes everything good, because now I don't have to worry about stuff. I called my sister. She was helping her daughter move. They're at IHOP. I don't know if you guys know. It's in Kansas City. It's a big worship thing. And there are ministers there. Both of them are. And they rented a house, and they have to renovate it but before they move in. So my sister, she broke her toe, and she's, like, totally stressed out. She's a spirit-filled Christian. She's my little sister. Anyway, and I told her, I said, man, then I told her that story about Mary and Martha, because she tries to do too much. She's always guilty. She's always trying to please God by her works and by her ministry and all that kind of stuff. I know she does. Then I always talk to her all the time about the, she goes, gosh, that's so good. You know, because I had to tell her, you know, Catherine, you just rest. Stop working. You just broke your foot. You can't hardly walk, and you're still trying to do it. You're still trying to do what only God can do. You know, and then, then her husband called me, and everything worked out good, and she didn't have to even do anything, which I told her in the first place. She didn't have to do anything. Because people always want to help. It's like little kids. It's like my little grandkids. They always want to help. And even Titus, he wants to help me do stuff. But he's just in the way. Like, I let him do it, but I'm just like, I got to clean up all this mess he made or all the mistakes and stuff like that. But that's like God. He's like, man, but God is good. He just does it anyway, despite us. Because he's going to get his thing done. Just like he said, his word will not return void. It'll accomplish exactly what he sent it forth to do. And that's what happened right here. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them individually. Each one of them. So God loves you individually. He fills you with the Holy Spirit one by one by one. He does do it by groups, but I'm just saying it's you personally. He loves you. You're his favorite. So he's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you. In the Old Testament, when they got the law, what happened? There was thunder and lightning and people. And even Moses himself was, it says he was shaken. Because the law is like that. I know it is, because I lived under that right before I got saved. That's why I got saved. It wasn't because I was sinning. It was because the law was too much. And then I became a Christian. I started reading the Gospels, and it was way too much. You know, lose your life and give all you got to the poor. And I tried to do all that. I did. Being a good Catholic, it was in the Bible, so I had to give away all my stuff. And I did. Gave away all my stuff. You guys know the story. It's pretty funny, but I gave away everything. I hardly had anything to wear. But it was in the Bible. I didn't understand it. The spirit of the law was going by the letter. Because when you're Catholic, you go by the letter. You know, the Pharisees, that was their job. That was one of their jobs. The scribes and Pharisees, that was one of their jobs, was to make sure people were doing the word outwardly. No one cares about, even in the Catholic Church, no, the priest didn't care about your heart or whether you're going to heaven or hell or anything. They didn't care about Jesus or anything like that. Some of them did, I'm sure. But mostly it was just outward. Come on, say your Hail Marys, come to Mass, do communion, do your thing, and you're okay. And then when I went to the Baptist church, it was the same thing. I was a Baptist for two months. I got, because they led me to the Lord, but they had a bunch of books and rules, and it's hard, because I had to pay my tithe, and I couldn't pay it on. And they had a long talk with me. This is the first thing they did to disciple me. I had to pay my tithe. But I didn't understand. I didn't even know what they were talking about. But they go, okay, because I never read the Bible. They go, and they're talking about you had to pay it on your gross income, not what after taxes. And it was really complicated. I was like, man, this is too much. This is too much. I can't do all this stuff. And you had to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. And you had to go witness, and you had to go do this, and it was like so much stuff. I was like, wow, I was better off just being a sinner. No, I'm just kidding. Not really. Anyway, it was awesome. But God, I learned a lot through all that. God just has blessed me so much. And there appeared unto them cloves of tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were done at Jerusalem, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So everybody, this was God's way to get this. Right off the bat, the gospel went to every nation. Isn't that crazy? That's just like God. He does everything, you know, the way, not the way we think. And so he got it all done, like right away. So I'm going to skip over. I want to get to Peter's message. So Peter gave this long message, not long, probably not near as long as me and Jim speak, but it is long. Okay, in the 34th verse it says, "And David is not ascended into heavens, but saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all of house of Israel know assuredly." This is, we can write this down. This is assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom thou hast crucified, both Lord and Christ. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other name, no other name under heaven why we must be saved. There's no other name. Every day is a day of salvation. That's talking about salvation, getting saved, but it's also talking about our lives. Every day to me is a day of salvation. I need to be saved every day. Not justified. I'm talking about sanctification. I'm talking about chair 5. And I know that. I'm like, God, whatever it takes. And I pray this all the time, God, whatever it takes. And sometimes I regret that prayer, but I do. I know everything's good for me. I know this thing that we're going through right now in the world is good for us. It's good for the church. Because we're cocky and arrogant and, you know, we're just stiff-necked, just like we're exactly like the Jews. So whenever Jim teaches like that, I always look at myself. When he teaches on the church being lukewarm, that's me. I never say, wow, those guys over across the street are lukewarm. I always look at myself, say, yeah, that's me. I'm lukewarm. I love to be entertained more than I love God. That's you too. Because you watch movies, and we do all kinds of stuff to entertain ourselves. We go on vacations. I'm not saying that stuff is all wrong. I'm just saying we love to be entertained. That's why I love Africa. There's no entertainment. There's none. When I was over there with Marshall and Jackie, we did not get there was no entertainment. So you just had to read your Bible and pray. That was the only entertainment there was. No movies, no ice cream. Their ice cream was awful. There was no processed food. There's no Six Flags. They did have a 7-Eleven. It was about this size and had a bunch of peanuts or something. I don't know what ground nuts, but it was bad. So the first thing I learned over there, this was awesome. It was awesome. It was so good for me. Because when you go through things like that, you have to die. When you go to Africa, you're dead. Right, Julia? Right? Because you have nothing. Last time we went with Pastor Jim to Uganda, it was great. It was just, it was right in my wheelhouse because I didn't know where I was going, didn't know what I was doing. Everybody was telling me where to go, what to do, what to say. Right? It's like that. Like Jim, who's preaching? Who's talking? What are we doing? And it takes us like 3 hours to get there, didn't it? Yeah. It was a long time. It's like me and Julia, you know, we're like, golly, we talked a long time because we had a lot of time to talk. Anyway, God's good. So they were praising. Listen to this. This is the same question I had. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom thou hast crucified, both Lord and Christ. The gospel is all about Jesus, Jesus Christ. Now then, they heard this, they were pricked to the heart. In other words, the Holy Spirit was already working on them. Unless the Father draw you, you're not going to get saved. You can, you know, you just got to pray for people. Before I witness to people, I know I'm going to go witness to somebody, like a friend of mine I did. I prayed in tongues for a long time for him. Just prayed and prayed. I prayed in tongues for like 2 hours or whatever it was. And I went and spoke to him. And I just fumbled through it. I wasn't even good at it. You know, I said, hey, you need to get saved or something. I don't know what I said. But he said, okay. So he got saved. And then his wife got saved at the same time and got baptized in the Holy Spirit and got healed of diabetes. And I was like, wow, that was weird. I didn't even do anything. I just actually didn't even say anything that interesting. But it's because it's spiritual. Like Jim said the other day, last night when we were talking on the phone, he said, this is a spiritual warfare. This has nothing to do with how great orators we are and how good we can speak. It has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This was all this stuff at the day of Pentecost was not because people prayed for 24 hours or whatever. It was because God just did it. I noticed that in my life. Whenever God does something in my life, it's always something it comes right out of the blue. I'm not even trying to be spiritual or anything. I'm like, God does something. I'm like, wow, God, you did that. I didn't even get the help out or anything. I didn't get any glory in it because he just did it. I didn't even, I should have prayed or whatever. I should do something interesting to make it happen or whatever. That's what we want. That's why people like God's acts more than they do him. You know, God has prepared your inheritance for you. You did not prepare. You don't even know what your inheritance is totally because God hasn't revealed it all to you. But he says it's going to be better than you can ask or think. Yeah, I don't know. People, you know, kids, everybody always wants to know, when I get to heaven, am I going to have my own mansion? You know, and all that kind of stuff. You don't want a mansion. It's a lot of maintenance, I'm telling you. I worked for a guy that had a mansion. It's a lot of work. But anyway, I'm just saying, whatever it is, it'll be awesome because Jesus will be there. God is your exceeding great reward. That's all I care about. I don't care about, oh, I don't even care if we have trees or I don't know what it's going to be like. All I know is we're the house and he's building it. And whatever that new Jerusalem is, it's going to be glorious. Won't even have to have the sun or the moon. That's pretty amazing because God himself will enlighten it. Okay, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were all pricked to the heart. It was the Holy Spirit was working in their heart because of the words that Peter spoke, because that's what the word of God does. It never returns void. And then, because it was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was doing all this, orchestrating all this, and Peter was just a mouthpiece. You know, everybody knows who Peter was, and he was a doofus. He always made mistakes and was always, God loved him and he was awesome. But it was because of Jesus, it wasn't because of him. Because he was just a fisherman. And the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Anyway, that's a good question. I asked that same question to that Baptist guy that was witnessing to me when I was getting, because I'm a, you know, these people are here to worship at the Pentecost, so they're all Jews or proselytes. Probably a lot of them were proselytes. They might not even have been natural Jews, but they're at least proselytes. It even says that they were. So that was my question. What do we do? That's what you asked too. We all asked that. God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to witness. I don't know how to be not afraid. I don't know how to be as bold as a lion. That's the first, when God speaks, that's the first thing we ask. Well, what do I do? How am I going to make some money off this? Or how am I going to get glory out of this? Or how am I going to get something out of this? But God doesn't answer that question. You don't do anything. You just believe. That's all you do. I believe I'm as bold as a lion, not because I'm as bold as a lion. I'm not as bold as a lion. But God is. Amen. And he'll do it in me. And he is doing it in me. And I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm not going to check it out and see if I'm as bold as a lion. That's the first thing Christians want to do. Is they want to check to see if they have any fruit. But as soon as you check your fruit, or you check your love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, temperance, it's a promise. I already believe I already have all that. I'm not going to check it out. When you're a farmer, you don't go out. Well, you do sometimes, but you don't go out and, you know, like Jim says, you don't go out and dig the seed back up and see if it's growing and put it back in, and you know, it just grows. And you don't even know how it happens. And all of a sudden you have a tree, and then you have fruit, and then you have this. It takes a long time, too, by the way. That's one thing God's teaching me. Things take a long time with God. A long time. A long time. Let me say that again. A long time. He is long-suffering. So he's not wanting you to perish, but to have an everlasting life. He wants you to be one of his beloved. He wants you to be a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And that takes a day or two, a lifetime. It takes a long time, a long time. I asked God, I don't know, 20 years ago to give me patience, and he's now getting around to it. It just takes a long, you know why? Because he's patient towards you. It's not because he doesn't want to do it. It's just he's waiting for you to, you know, get tired of doing all your stuff. And when you get tired of doing all your stuff, like I told my sister, when you get tired, when you break your toe and you can't walk and, you know, and you're totally crippled and boy, or all this, then God will talk to you. My nephew, the same way. I have a nephew and I love him dearly, but he's not a Christian, so he's going through a lot of problems because I've been praying for him. And he's going through a lot of problems. I mean, he found him on the floor all crying and stuff, and he's having a lot of problems. Lost his job, he doesn't have any money, he's got a lot of other sin and problems and stuff too. But anyway, and I was thinking to myself yesterday, I don't know why, but I was praying for him. I go, man, this is great. He is coming to an end of himself. He has no hope, none. And I know God's going to do it. If he gets saved, because I know Eric, his name's Eric, it will change his family, my brother. It will totally, just like it did my family. When you get one member of the family, it's over. You know, you're gonna get the whole family. Even though it might take time. But with my family, it didn't, and Leah's family also. It just was like a revival. It's like I got saved, people couldn't believe it, and then my sister got saved, and my mom and dad were like, "Well, what's going on? We better call the family priest." So they got the priest, and you know, we had all kinds of opposition, and it was like just like the book of Acts. So it was interesting, but it all worked out good. Now my sister in New York loves Jesus, and Catherine and my brother Joe is getting there, and there's just everything. Everybody's it's just amazing what God did. And then the other day, yesterday at 6 o'clock, my dad passed away. And we prayed because they weren't, you know, because of all the stuff going on. And they're in St. Louis. And they weren't going to let my mom see my dad. She's 90. She's going to be 94. He is 92, or was 92. And then so Friday, for some reason, and Mary said it was a miracle, the social worker snuck my mom into my dad's room because they lived in separate rooms. You know how they do. They separate people and stuff. And my mom and dad were really close. They were married for almost 70 years. And so my mom got there, and they took pictures and stuff, but they sat there for 2 hours and just held hands. And I can get through this. They talked about their marriage and all that kind of thing. So it was really neat. And then he was just ready to go. Then the next morning, just 6 o'clock the next morning, he passed away. Because they were going to put him on hospice and do a bunch of stuff. I know my dad wouldn't like that. He was the type of guy that, you know, he was a man's man. Just let me die. He was that way. And he was a carpenter. He had his own gas station. He was a pipe fitter, welder. I always thought when I was growing up my dad could do anything. He fixed everything. He made his own tools. And that's what people did back then. If they needed a tool and it didn't work quite right, they would just make it. They would just fabricate it out of whatever scrap metal they had. Or I even have some of his tools in my tool thing. My tool room, I have some of their tools, but I don't even know what they're for. Because they're handmade and they're for something they did. Yeah, they're so specialized. I don't even know what they're for. But sometimes I use them. I'm like, well, I'll use it for this. So that's just what they did back then. That's just how people lived. Like this whole virus thing would be nothing to them. They're like, what? I mean, they don't even understand why people are getting upset about it. But anyway, so that's the question. What shall we do? And then when the Jews got the law, like I said, there's 3,000, almost about 3,000 got killed because they were already totally debauching. I was praying the other day and I go, God, sometimes you pray, because in our church, we're encouraged to pray to ask God to show us our sin, which is good. I love it. So I say, God, what is my sin? And it's always so disappointing. Because my sin is I'm so shallow. I'm like, really? That's it? I thought it'd be something like pride or I don't know, something grandiose. But it's always like, no, just something really base. I'm like, oh, God. So we haven't improved a bit. Your flesh has not improved a bit. Mankind is not improving, I'm sorry. I even hear Christians say that to me sometimes. Yeah, but man's getting better. He's living longer, but and they list all these things. I'm like, yeah, right. But really, it's not. It's just the same old sin. The internet's full of sin. Facebook is full of sin. Pride, all kinds of wickedness. Craigslist, there's human trafficking. There's everything, the most vile, wicked stuff. And man has not improved a bit. None. Not at all. Not even an iota. I haven't either. I haven't improved since the day I was born or the day I got born again, except for I die daily. You have to die every day. My life, I am dead and my life is hid with Christ and God. And the world can't understand that, but that we're dying every day. They don't even know your life. They don't know. No, they don't know anything. All they know is we could do is just preach the gospel like Peter did. And if the Holy Spirit pricks their heart when you're saying the word, because the harvest is ripe, then they'll receive the word. If not, then they can't receive it. I don't know how you do it. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had other people with me, Baptist people. And the guy from South Africa goes, hey, he said in his African voice, you know how they sound, that Afrikaans. I said, and they ask everybody, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I was the only one that said yes. I don't know why God did that, but everything I did was by myself. When I got baptized at the Baptist church, it was huge auditorium, and it was just packed. And I was the only one that night that must have got saved or whatever, because I was the only one that got baptized. And it wasn't embarrassing to me, but being a Catholic, it's kind of weird because people are talking in church, and how Protestants are. They're not quite like Catholic, where just everything's quiet and solemn, and it's very reverent. It wasn't like that, and I was used to that. I wasn't used to the bad. They're all talking and hey, get baptized, and saying it's just pretty crazy. And then when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the same thing. Nobody said anything except for me. I was like, yeah, I read that in the Bible. I want it. Whatever that is, I didn't know what it was exactly, but I knew it was in the Bible. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. He goes, okay, come over here. So they prayed for me, and everybody else was kind of still aside, like, this guy's crazy. But anyway, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So all it is by faith. Everything that we do is totally by faith. You got nothing else until you're perfected, until Jesus comes back. Then you won't need faith. You won't need hope. You'll just have love. But that's future. That's something we have to wait for. Patience. That's something you have to wait. You just wait in faith. Abraham lived in faith. Isaac, Jacob, they all didn't see it. David didn't see it. Solomon didn't see it. I mean, they saw it to a degree, but they didn't see it like we see it, because they were looking for a better day, our day. And we have everything. We're still pretty pathetic, but at least You know, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have the church, we have being born again, we have Jesus, we have everything. We can read the Old Testament, New Testament, we can understand it, because it all fits together. And it was all written for you, for your edification, for you to be built up, because you're God's favorite. Everybody say it, I'm God's favorite. And don't be, you know, not... I said, the first time I ever said that, I thought, God, this sounds kind of... It's just kind of weird saying it, but after a while you get used to it. You're like, yeah, I'm God's favorite. I'm born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have all the benefits. Like, you can read them in Psalms 103. Daily loads me with benefits, like you said, Walter. No diseases are going to hurt me, blah, 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 and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's me. He forgives all my sins. That's it. Then you got nothing. Then you ask, oh, what should I do? And he goes, nothing. I've done everything for you, in you, and through you. So that's the gospel. The gospel is God does everything. What do you do? Nothing. What does God do? Everything. He did. When I got saved, I had a good job, and I had all kind of stuff going for me, but I had nothing really. I had no real friends, no nothing, except for Larry. And you know how that goes. Now, Larry was awesome. Actually, Larry was a really huge influence in my life for my walk with the Lord and everything. Just like Pastor Jim is like my dad and my spiritual dad and all that. And it's amazing how God puts people in your life to help you, because you're not helpable except through Jesus Christ. And Jesus does everything. And I follow people as they follow Jesus. I don't follow people that don't follow Jesus. I don't follow, you know, people that don't follow Jesus. I just know that if somebody's like Pastor Jim, I follow, and David, of course I stay here. I've been here for 25 years. Of course I stayed here, because I know that they know they love Jesus. And that's all I care about. I don't care about ministry or signs and wonders. I don't care about all that stuff. I think we see that stuff, right, Jim? We see that stuff. We see signs and wonders and miracles and all that kind of stuff, and blessings and all that stuff. But I just want to know Jesus. If you got Jesus, if you get Jesus, you freely get all things. But everybody goes for the all things. You do. You go for the all. I want to be healed. I want my marriage to be better or whatever. I want my life to be better. Just go for Jesus. It'll be better. Don't worry. He'll take care of all that. You don't have to even do anything. You don't have to be like my sister. Is it Martha? It was Martha, right? That was encumbered about so many things. And Mary did the needful thing. She sat at Jesus' feet. She sought first the kingdom of God. Everything in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament written is a parable for you to know how to live. Here's how you live. You don't. Jesus lives for you, in you, and through you. So I'm not living anymore. I'm dead. I'm already dead. When I got saved, I knew my life would never be the same. I knew I would never, you know, go partying again. I knew I would never... It took me 2 years even to meet Leah. I never looked at girls. I didn't do anything. Ask Larry. We were living at the church at the time. Me and him were living at the church. And we lived there. I mean, we that was our life. I didn't know, and I was a big sports guy. I didn't know who won the Super Bowl. I didn't know who won the World. I didn't barely even knew who the president was, because we were like so secluded. And all we did was read our Bible and pray. I really needed that, because I was so evil. And we got delivered from a lot of stuff. And God did a lot of miracles in our life, because we needed it. We needed to be, you know, discipled. And we only could go so far by ourselves. And then we found Emmanuel, and then things really got bad. No, I'm just kidding. Then our lives really fell apart. No. But that's what God does. He lets you fall apart so you can trust in Him. So every day I fall apart. I don't know what I'm doing. I wake up in the morning, I think, I can't believe it, God. I just can't believe how you forgive. I mean, just the God, just Galatians chapter 2, I just read that every day, and I'm like, God, I'm just amazed that me being a Gentile, a heathen, a sinner, God justified me just because I believed. I didn't even do anything. What do I do? What do I do, God? Nothing. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I want to get some glory out of this. I want to be, say a prayer or take communion or go to confession or do something to deserve your grace and your mercy. Oh, you never deserve it. It's just free. It's just free. You don't have to even deserve it. A lot of people think that. You think, well, I did that yesterday, and I just don't deserve God's mercy or his grace. I have to earn it. People do that, and they think that. We do, but you don't have to. You just believe. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I tell the people at the house church this all the time. Just whatever you're going through, whatever sin in the middle of, whatever. I do. I don't care what sin I'm doing. I go directly into the throne of grace. What are you going to do? You're going to go in clean? You're not going to go in clean. Just go in like you are. And receive from God freely. Freely I receive, freely give, you know, and all that. And Jesus just gives it to you for free. He gives you his righteousness for free. And that's all I care about. That's all I look at. I don't look at it. I'm telling you, I do not look at anything else. When I read my Bible, that's all I look at. I look at Jesus. He justified me. He saved me. He's sanctifying me. He began a good work in me. He will finish it. He will finish it. So let him do it. I know it sounds kind of cocky, but I just let him do it. I say, God, I can't do it. I'm just not that kind of person. I'm not a pull my straps up by my boots, you know, pull your whatever this thing is, and get out there and do it. And I used to be like that because I used to run marathons and I used to do all kinds of crazy things. But when I became a Christian, I knew I could never do that. I could do a lot of stuff. I thought I could. I could run marathon. Physically, I thought I could do a lot. I could run a marathon in 2 hours and 45 minutes. I could just play basketball for 3 or 4 days without any rest, and I could do all kinds of crazy things. But when I became a Christian, I knew, you know, I can do nothing. I can't even love somebody or love myself, or I can't have peace that passes all understanding. I do now because I know that I'm dead. But I could never do any of that. I tell you, Jesus did not help me out at all. let me qualify that. But when I became a Christian, I started reading the New Testament, especially the Gospels. The way Jesus lived, the things he said, it drove me crazy because I knew it was just too much. I mean, if you ever really read what Jesus did and what he said, blessed are the poor. You know, his first sermon alone would drive me crazy. And then he had to seek first. You know, he had all these things because I didn't understand it. I thought I had to do it. I had to do it. I had to do it. I had to be good. I had to be a Christian. I had to take up my cross and follow. I didn't know what that meant. I go, take up your cross and follow Jesus. I don't even know what that means. But I didn't even know it. I was just like, this sounds so impossible. But I never gave up. I just kept going to Jesus every day and go, man, I failed. It was the law. It was working in me that which was evil. It was like Romans chapter 7. But thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord, who did it all for me, in me, and through me. And then I had peace that passed. But it took a while. Even though I was born again, it took me a while to realize by listening to Pastor Jim and different people, that it wasn't me. This was all about Jesus. It wasn't me. I didn't have to do anything. Whew, man, that just took a load. You know, that burden, that load off me just was so cumbersome, and I couldn't do it. And plus, I lost everything. I gave away all my money, my clothes, my basketball, my bicycle. I even gave away my bicycle. I gave away everything because it said in the Bible to do it. And I'm a doer. because I was Catholic. You have to do it. Like they say, what do we do? And Peter, you know, says, just repent, be baptized. Well, that's easy. I can do that. I was, you know, when I was a Catholic, it was a little bit more strenuous and hard to do the thing. But when I became a Protestant, it was even worse. Because the Catholic thing is kind of doable, because you can, if I go to communion and I go to confession, I'm pretty well okay. You don't even have to tithe. That was awesome. But then when I became a Protestant, it was like, man, these rules are tough. This is way harder than being a Catholic. So when I got to Emmanuel, there was no rules. I was like, wow, Jim doesn't have any rules. This is awesome. We can imagine how blessed I was to be here, because I didn't have any. Jim had no expectations. He just said, well, here comes another loser. So when you have no expectations, then you're peaceful and joyful. I don't expect that I'll do anything. I expect that Jesus. Then I better buy all my expectations. All my faith is in Jesus. Amen. After all, isn't he the whole point of the whole thing? Right. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Everything will be given to him. The whole world. The earth and everything it dwells. He owns everything. He has everything. He does everything. Just like I read in the Numbers, chapter 23. If he said he's going to do it, is he going to do it or not? Well, he'll do it. It took me a long time to learn that, because I'd think, yeah, but it must mean something else. Because I don't see any fruit in my life. I don't see any change or any whatever. But you have to wait. You just have to be patient. And it'll come by time, and then by the time it comes, you know, I'm already 62. He already missed his window of opportunity. That's what I think. I'm already 62. When I was 35, me and Marshall had a lot of, you know, Marshall's my friend. You remember Marshall. We had a lot of energy. You know, we were in Africa. We were blowing and going and doing all kinds of awesome things. We were making all kinds of mistakes too, because we were stupid. Because we were young and we didn't know anything. We're just saying what Jim said. That's what we did. Basically in Africa, we just taught, you know. Marshall had it all. Man, he had it all written out, organized. And we would go and we'd teach it, and then people would go, oh, that's awesome. And we'd be like, yeah, we're great. But we made tons of mistakes and stuff, but that's okay. God is good. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is God's patient. He's going to wait until everything is the way he wants it, and then he'll act. And you don't have to worry about it. There's a revival coming. It's going to be amazing. It'll be in Fort Worth, too. Maybe it'll start here. I don't know. But I'm just saying there's going to be something big. It's coming. But this time you're not going to own it. No man's going to own it, like the charismatic movement. All that, people owned it. They made money off of it. They made profit off of it. They did this, they did that. But it's not going to be like that, because we're going to be so destroyed, we won't be able to do anything. You know, God will have to do it all. Like in Africa, right? In Africa, they have nothing. I was talking to one of the drivers when we were there. His name was Matthew. Matthew, me and him were pretty good buddies. And I said, Matthew, we were talking about something. He goes, you know, he goes, if I have food this day, that's a miracle. I'm happy. And they just live from day to day, and they don't have any, you know, they're just trusting God for food, you know, and for a place to lay their head and stuff like that. So that's what they got. But they, you know, and we're here, and we got everything we need. At least I do. I'm sure all you do too. We have everything we need, more than enough. I even have toilet paper. So we have everything we need. And God takes care of us because we trust him. I've been praying about this. I'll be quitting. I'm going to close with this, but In the United States, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, we have the middle class, which I am think that a lot of times I think that the world or our government or whatever, whoever's behind all this, wants to destroy the middle class. Because if you don't have a middle class, you know, I was thinking, because I worked with the very rich, like I said, and I worked with the very poor people. I mean, really rich, filthy rich, billionaires, but then I worked with the very poor in projects and stuff. So, but if you don't have a middle class, then you got nothing. Because we pay all the taxes. We do all the grunt work. We have all the businesses, you know, the whatever, grocery stores and mom and pop stores. And we have all that. So if you just have the very rich and the very poor, then you got, it's going to be tough. That's why God is blessing us and helping us. And I think God will. I've been praying for that. I've been praying God would help those people. And like Norman and me, we have our own business. And Julia and all of us that are middle class people, it's important that we survive for our country, not for us. We're okay because we're going to heaven and we're blessed. But we have to survive. So we have to do whatever we can. We have to petition. In the First Amendment, it says we have to petition the government. I'm going to find out how to do that. But I want to start petitioning them because I got some complaints. Not to hurt them or to, I'm not mad at them. I don't even care what they're doing. But we have a right to petition them. It says right there in the First Amendment. We can complain. I got a complaint. I got to complain to God first, and he'll tell me what to say and all that. But we can petition the government because they won't allow us to meet or do something. That's our right, according to the Constitution, is for us to meet and all that kind of thing and to gather together and to do what the Bible says. I just want to do what the Bible says. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. It's like the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. I take that as a promise. So if you don't have a job or you're losing your job, that's a promise. I always tell God that too. I want God to prosper me, but I don't want him to prosper by giving me something for nothing. I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, he does that anyway because he's a good God. But I don't mind. I always tell God, I don't mind working. Just give me some more work because I don't want to sit at home and do nothing because I want to work. It's good for a man to work with his hands. I love working. I mean, I know people think I'm weird, but I love going to my job and hang. I always feel better when I'm working. Physically, mentally, emotionally, every way I feel better. Because the Bible says to work. If you work with your hands, especially if you're a man and you have a family, you have to provide for your family. All you got to do is ask God and he'll give you work. I do it every day. God, things are kind of slowing down. You better do something. And then the next day, I got work. And God always provides. So, God does everything. That's the kind of the message, I guess, today. God does everything. Day of Pentecost, that's a work of God. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. So, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, what do you do? It's right to ask. Just ask. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, by the hearing of faith? You just believe. Just believe you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't even try to pray in tongues or do any of that. Just believe you're filled with the Holy Spirit and God will do it. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, is God going to give you a fish or a stone or something or something different? No. It says he'll give you the Holy Spirit. It says right there in Luke, Galatians, I think it's chapter 3. You begin in spirit, you're going to be perfected in the flesh. That's what most Christians do. They just perfect them. It's just a better way to be moral or a better something. But people, it's by the Holy Spirit. That's what Pentecost is all about. For the Jew, it's about the law, the giving of the law. Because we are so awesome. We kept the law. Moses wasn't even down the mountain yet, and they were already totally debauched. That would have been me. I'm not judging them at all. That would definitely have been me. I said, where's Moses? He's been gone for like 20 days. Let's start partying or something. Who's got the keg or whatever, you know? So they started, immediately went into idolatry. Immediately. And the church It was just a few hundred years, and the church was already messed up because, you know, they legalized Christianity. It was the best, it was a cool thing to be a Christian, and no more suffering. Everybody's awesome. But we will suffer. And the suffering, like Jim always says, is that we're not in heaven. So you have to see it by faith. I suffer every day I wake up, I'm suffering because I don't see heaven. But then I see it by faith, and I'm like, then it blesses me. I'm like, wow, Jesus is awesome. I took my eyes off of Jesus while I was sleeping or something, and I woke up and I forgot who I was and who Jesus was. Immediately I read the Bible, it says, I am nothing and God is everything. And yeah, that's pretty much it. It's that simple. I remember our Jim was counseling me one time, and he said, just keep things simple. And the simplicity of my life is such a joy because I know if a man thinks he is something and he is nothing, then he deceives himself. So if I'm something, it's a deception. Pride is just a deception. You have nothing to be proud about. So it's a lie. It's just you're lying to yourself. I'm awesome, or I'm great, or I'm wonderful. You're just lying to yourself. You're nothing. And God is everything. Well, that takes all the pressure off me. Remember what I was telling you before, growing up as a Catholic? If you have pressure on you, then you'll be fearful. And you'll have something inside of you telling you, and I know it because I have the same thing, you got to be good. You got to try harder. You got to, you know, whatever. And then after a while, you're just like, oh my gosh, I am so stressed out. You know, and you can't even hardly walk. But that God doesn't want that. Jesus is saying, no, come to me. I'll do everything for you. I've already done it, as a matter of fact. I've already kept the law for you. I died on the cross for you. I took away all your sins. I justified you. I paid the double. I did everything. Now I'm going to sanctify you by the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to sanctify you so that you'll be just like me. Now, you won't be me because I'll be living through you. It's not even me. It's Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, that's the mystery of the gospel. You just solved all the big mystery on earth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, everybody wants to win the lottery or be great or something. But you're already great. Why would you want to be greater? You're already awesome. Jesus loves you. He's in you. You're his favorite. You're his favorite. He wakes up every morning and says, Walter, you're my favorite. I love you, Walter. You are the best. You're my best Christian. I used to think Pastor Jim was, but now Walter. But God's like that. I mean, he is. Every morning, I think that, too. I know I'm probably prideful, but I was like, man, I'm God's favorite. God's reconciling the world to himself, and he's going through me. You got to get through me first. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, you are. That's exactly what God's doing. He loves you. You're his favorite. He will never leave you or forsake you. And you will never, you just got to get this in your head. You will never, ever, ever, for all eternity, experience God's wrath. Never. Amen. It's done. Jesus already did it. He took all the wrath for you. And you, so I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about, oh my gosh, am I going to be the bowls and, you know, the seals, the trumpets and the bowls and all these things are going to happen. You're okay. They might chop your head off, but that's all right. You can handle it. That's what me and Leo want. We want it's quick. Like Jim says, I don't want any torturing of the fingernails or anything like that. I just want quick. Quick death would be great, God. Anyway, God is good. He loves you. You're his favorite. You're his elect. I think it's electos in the Greek, or lektos. And it means you're his favorite. You can't get much better than that, being God's favorite. He's a God who created the universe. He's a God that's reconciling everything to himself. He's a God that's going to end this thing. He is doing everything. The world's got nothing. I'm telling you, they got nothing. It's just funny sometimes. I listen to them. I'm like, what? I don't even know what they get. They don't got anything. They're just talking. They're just, you know, they just want all Christians to go away so they can sin. And it's the most base sin. It's not even an interesting sin. It's just they want to have money, and they want to have, you know, whatever, women or whatever. That's all they want. And drink beer and watch TV. That's all they want to do. They just want Christians to shut up and leave them alone. Just let us sin and do what we do and don't tell us about Jesus or anything like that. But we will never go away. We'll always be here right there. Jesus loves you. It will. And people get irritated about it. They get mad. That's okay. Who cares? Some don't. Some love it. To one, you're a odor unto death, unto death, and one, a life unto life. And you can't do anything about it. Just love Jesus and follow him. Do his thing. You know, just let God do his thing. Have faith in him. Trust in him. Trust him to disciple you. Trust him to glorify you. And trust him to prepare the bride. The bride has made herself ready. She looks pretty ready. That's a pretty good picture, Jim. Anyway, the bride's ready. Is getting herself ready. But that's not us getting ourselves ready. You know, when Leo, when we got married, I'm sure this is what happened. They're all brides. They have a bunch of people there helping them, doing their hair and makeup and all that kind of stuff. They're not doing it. They're just sitting there being nervous. That's how Jesus is. He's doing all the work. He's putting the makeup on and fixing our hair and putting our dress on perfect and all that kind of thing. And we're just sitting there, wow, this is, I'm getting married. That's it. Jesus does everything. You do nothing. So to get used to doing nothing and let God do everything, then you'll be fine. But if you want to do something, if you want to be great and holy and, you know, start your own ministry, I don't know, people do it all the time, but I'm not saying you shouldn't do that if God tells you to, but I'm just saying don't do all that. Just wait on God. Let him do it. Amen? Amen. So God will do it. God loves you and you're his favorite.
Thank you.
Favorite? Wow.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Just put that in your notes. God, I'm God's favorite. Not Pastor Jim. I am. All right. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray everyone here that if they want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, just ask. I do every day. Just ask. And he does it. Because you said, if we ask for the Holy Spirit, you will give it. You won't give us anything else. You'll freely give it to us. Freely, freely, freely. Because you love us. And you want to use us and empower us and do all the things that you said you'd do. But we can't do it. I can't, like I said, I cannot not be afraid. Or I can't not be as bold as a lion. I can't do that. But you can do it. So I'm trusting you. I'm having faith that you're doing it. And I'm not going to look at it to see, check it out to see if you're doing it or not doing it. I'm just going to trust that you already have. It's already done. So I'm just thank you for that, and I thank you you're working that in my life. And I thank you for getting rid of all of our sin, which is a lot. Thank you for getting rid of our pride, our fears. Forgive us for being afraid. Forgive us for being prideful, for thinking that we are in need of nothing, that we are just awesome and all that, but we're not. Only God is good. Only God is great. Only Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. There is none other, none. There's no other mediator between God and man but the man Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that, and that's our God. That's our guy. We love him. We love Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul and our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourself. But that's faith, and we don't even have to see it. We just know it's true because you said it was. You're our righteousness. You're our peace. You're our joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, all a gift. We didn't even do any of it. Thank you for you're our righteousness, you're our peace, and you're our joy. And we thank you for that, Father, and thank you for just loving these people, taking care of them today. Let them all just go out rejoicing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.